It's always nice when you get to the completion of something. I know when I'm mowing the lawn, for example, and I do it in a circular method, as I'm working around the yard, it just seems to take forever to get to that center spot. But as you're getting closer, you're seeing the completion of a job well done, or at least you looks pretty well done. Then you look at, like, any other thing that is being put together and is finalized and completed. It's just a beautiful thing to watch. Well, we come to this end part of Exodus. We're seeing the tabernacle being completed. And so we've got three chapters that we're going to work through. And we're going to, as we work through it, we're going to see the different pieces coming together. And so let's just do that right now. We're beginning at Exodus chapter 37, and the first thing that we're making, or that God is making, is the ark, making the ark. Look at verses 37, or chapter 37, 1 through 5. Bezalel made the ark of acacia wood. 2 cubits and a half was its length, 1.5 cubits its breadth, and 1.5 cubits its height. And he overlaid it with pure gold inside and outside, and made a molding of gold around it. And he cast for it 4 rings of gold for its 4 feet, 2 rings on its one side and 2 rings on its other side. And he made poles of acacia wood and overlaid them with gold, and put the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark to carry the ark. And so the Ark of the Covenant is being completed. And that conforms to Exodus 25, 10 through 20. And so this... The beginning is a right relationship with God that is based on His Word, and that's in the ark, that's in this box. Look at verses 6 through 9. And he made a mercy seat of pure gold. 2.5 cubits was its length, and 1.5 cubits its breadth, and he made 2 cherubim of gold. He made them of hammered work on the 2 ends of the mercy seat, 1 cherub on the one end and 1 cherub on the other end. Of 1 piece with the mercy seat, he made the cherubim on its 2 ends. The cherubim spread out their wings above, overshadowing the mercy seat with their wings, with their faces one to another, toward the mercy seat were the faces of the cherubim. And so this mercy seat is completed. And this lines up with Exodus 25, 17 through 20. And that mercy seat, this atonement cover, was going to be on the ark. That's the way to having access to God and even His Word. It's a grace and mercy of God. So we move from that to making the table, beginning at verse 10. He also made the table of acacia wood. 2 cubits was its length, 1 cubit its breadth, and 1.5 cubits its height. And he overlaid it with pure gold and made a molding of gold around it. And he made a rim around it, a hand breadth wide, and made a molding of gold around the rim. He cast for it 4 rings of gold, fastened the rings to the 4 corners at its 4 legs, close to the frame were the rings, and as holders for the poles to carry the table. He made the poles of acacia wood to carry the table and overlaid them with gold, and he made the vessels of pure gold that were to be on the table, its plates and dishes for incense, and its bowls and flagons with which to pour drink offerings. And so this table is made of acacia wood, and this lines up with Exodus 25, 23 through 29. And it goes on, and he's making the menorah. Look at verse 17. He also made the lampstand of pure gold. He made the lampstand of hammered work, its base, its stem, its cups, its calyxes, and its flowers were of 1 piece with it. And there were 6 branches going out of its sides, 3 branches of the lampstand out of one side of it, and 3 branches of the lampstand out of the other side of it. 3 cups made like almond blossoms, each with calyx and flower on 1 branch, and 3 cups made like almond blossoms, each with calyx and flower on the other branch. So for the six branches going out of the lampstand, and on the lampstand itself were four cups made like almond blossoms with their calyxes and flowers, and a calyx of one piece with it under each pair of the six branches going out of it. Their calyxes and their branches were of one piece with it. The whole of it was a single piece of hammered work of pure gold. And he made it seven lamps and its tongs and its trays of pure gold. He made it and all its utensils out of a talent of pure gold. And so this golden lampstand is completed. And it's a very difficult item to make because it was all one piece. But this lines up with Exodus 25, 31 through 39. And that was going to give light to those in a relationship with God in this tent. We move from that to making the incense altar. Look at verse 25. He made the altar of incense of acacia wood. Its length was a cubit and its breadth was a cubit. It was a square. It was square and two cubits was its height. Its horns were of one piece with it. He overlaid it with pure gold, its top and around its sides and its horns. And he made a molding of gold around it and made two rings of gold on it under its molding on two opposite sides of it as holders for the poles with which to carry it. And he made the poles of acacia wood and overlaid them with gold. He made the holy anointing oil also and the pure fragrant incense blended as by the perfumer. And so this altar of incense is completed, and this brought a sweet fragrance to this place of worship. And that lines up with Exodus 30, 1 through 5. And then the anointing oil was made, and that lines up with Exodus 30, 22 through 25, and verses 34 through 36. And so everything, when it comes to God, was anointed, was set apart, was sacred. Move on to point number 5, making the offering altar. Look at verse 1 of chapter 38. He made the altar of pure burnt offering of acacia wood. 5 cubits was its length and 5 cubits its breadth. It was square and 3 cubits was its height. He made horns for it on its four corners. Its horns were of one piece with it, and he overlaid it with bronze. He made all the utensils of the altar, the pots, the shovels, the basins, the forks, and the fire pans. He made all its utensils of bronze, and he made for the altar of grating a network of bronze under its ledge, extending halfway down. He cast four rings in the four corners of the bronze, grating as holders for the poles. He made the poles of acacia wood and overlaid them with bronze, and he put the poles through the rings on the sides of the altar to carry it with them. He made it hollow with boards. And so we see here that the only way to access God is through this blood sacrifice, and it lines up with Exodus 27, 1 through 8. He goes on as he's wrapping up this offering altar, and he talks about this basin of bronze. He made the basin of bronze, verse 8, and it stand on bronze from the mirrors of the ministering women who ministered in the entrance of the tent of meeting. And so this was a laver of bronze that was finished, and the priests had to be clean. And that lines up with Exodus 30, verses 17 through 21. Then, point number 6, the making of the courtyard. Look at verses 9 through 17. And he made the court. For the south side of the hangings of the court were of fine twine linen, 100 cubits. Their 20 pillars and their 20 bases were of bronze. But the hooks of the pillars and their fillets were of silver. And for the north side, there were hangings of 100 cubits. Their 20 pillars, their 20 bases were of bronze, but the hooks of the pillars and their fillets were of silver. And for the west side were hangings of 50 cubits. Their 10 pillars and their 10 bases, the hooks of the pillars and their fillets were of silver. And for the front to the east, 50 cubits, the hangings for one side of the gate were 15 cubits with their three pillars and three bases. And so for the other side, on both sides of the gate of the court were hangings of 15 cubits with their three pillars and their three bases. All the hangings around the court were of fine twine linen, and the bases for the pillars were of bronze. But the hooks of the pillars and their fillets were of silver. The overlaying of their capitals were also of silver, and all the pillars of the court were filleted with silver. And so this lined up with Exodus 27, 9 through 19, and thus the courtyard is done. Look at verses 18 through 20 as we wrap up about the court. And the screen for the gate of the court was embroidered with needlework in blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twine linen. It was 20 cubits long, 5 cubits high in its breadth, corresponding to the hangings of the court. And their pillars were 4 in number. Their 4 bases were of bronze, their hooks of silver, and the overlaying of their capitals and their fillets of silver. And all the pegs for the tabernacle and for the court all around were of bronze. And so it's the only entrance into this relationship with God. And that lines up with Exodus 27, verse 16. Point number 7, making of the tent. Look at verses 21 through 31. These are the records of the tabernacle of the testimony, as they were recorded at the commandment of Moses, the responsibility of the Levites under the direction of Ithamar, the son of Aaron the priest, Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, made all that the Lord commanded Moses. And with him was Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, an engraver and designer and embroiderer in blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twine linen. All the gold that was used for the work in all the construction of the sanctuary. The gold from the offering was 29 talents and 730 shekels by the shekel of the sanctuary. The silver from those of the congregation who were recorded was 100 talents and 1,775 shekels by the shekel of the sanctuary. A beka, a head that is half a shekel by the shekel of the sanctuary. For everyone who was listed in the records, from 20 years old upward, for 603,550 men, the 100 talents of silver were for casting the bases of the sanctuary and the bases of the veil, 100 bases for the 100 talents, a talent, a base. And of the 1775 shekels, he made hooks for the pillars and overlaid their capitals and made fillets for them. The bronze that was offered was 70 talents and 2,400 shekels. With it, he made the basis for the entrance of the tent of meeting, the bronze altar and the bronze grating for it, and all the utensils of the altar, the bases around the court and the bases of the gate of the court, and all the pegs of the tabernacle and all the pegs around the court. And so we see here that these were set apart in a special way as the tent is being made. And there's no parallel in any of the previous chapters here. And so it's clear that something is being set apart in a very special way to be used for the glory of God. And when they calculated the amount of money that this was going to cost, just the gold amount, that has been calculated as over 2,000 pounds. 1 pound of gold today is valued at about $1,200 per ounce. It's worth $19,200 per pound. So multiply that by 2,000 and it's worth more than $38 million. The silver amount has been calculated as over 8,000 pounds. You can buy a pound of silver for about $200. So 8,000 pounds is $1.6 million. The bronze amount is calculated at over 5,000 pounds. And it's going for about 1.65 per pound. It's 5,000 pounds is worth about 82.50 when it comes to $8,250. And so this is small, but this thing was nearly worth $40 million. And that's just staggering. But this is God's way of communicating the value of Jesus, the value of his worth. So we keep going and we see the making of the garments. Look at verse 1 of chapter 39. From the blue and purple and scarlet yarns, they made finely woven garments. And so we see here that this color scheme that's involved. and it's indicative of the person and work of Christ. Blue represents heaven, purple represents the royalty, scarlet represents the sacrifice of Jesus on our behalf. Look at verses 2 through 7. He made the ephod of gold, blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twined linen. And they hammered out gold leaf, and he cut it into threads to work into the blue and purple and the scarlet yarns and into the fine twined linen in skilled design. They made for the ephod attaching shoulder pieces joined to it at its two edges, and the skillfully woven band on it was of one piece with it and made like it of gold, blue, and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twined linen as the Lord had commanded Moses. They made the onyx stones enclosed in settings of gold filigree and engraved like the engravings of a signet according to the names of the sons of Israel. And he set them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod to be stones of remembrance for the sons of Israel, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And so when you look at verse 2, we see that they're going to be, he's going to be constructing this ephod. And it looks like Bezalel was going to be the person that did that. But we learn that gold is blended into the yarn and linen. And so then it would have to be hammered out. It would be hammered into sheets and then cut. And so this is amazing when you think about how that's all come together. And then verse 4 tells us that they attached the front of the vest together by attaching the shoulder pieces. And the Lord had commanded Moses these in each of these things, how it was to be done. And 6 and 7 talk about these onyx stones that contains the names of all the 12 tribes. And so we see as this ephod is coming together, it's coming together to symbolize things. It's also coming together to represent the people of Israel, because this priest is going to do that. He's going to represent the people of Israel to God. Look at verses 8 through 21 as we continue. He made the breastpiece in skilled work in the style of the ephod of gold, blue, and purple, and scarlet yarns, and fine twined linen. It was square. They made the breastpiece doubled, a span its length and a span its breadth when doubled, and they set in it four rows of stones. A row of sardius, topaz, and carbuncle was the first row, and the second row an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond, and the third row a jacinth, an agate, and an amethyst, and the fourth row a beryl, an onyx, and a jasper. They were enclosed in settings of gold filigree. There were 12 stones with their names according to the names of the sons of Israel. They were like signets, each engraved with its name for the 12 tribes. And they made a breastpiece, twisted chains like cords of pure gold. And they made two settings of gold filigree and two gold rings, and put the two rings on the two edges of the breastpiece. And they put the two cords of gold in the two rings at the edges of the breastpiece. They attached the two ends of the two cords to the two settings of the filigree. Thus they attached it in front to the shoulder pieces of the ephod. Then they made two rings of gold and put them at the two ends of the breastpiece on its inside edge next to the ephod. And they made two rings of gold and attached them in front to the lower part of the two shoulders piece of the ephod at its seam above the skillfully woven band of the ephod. And they bound the breastpiece by its rings to the rings of the ephod with the lace of blue, so that it should lie on the skillfully woven band of the ephod, and that the breastpiece should not come loose from the ephod, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And so there's this beautiful vest that literally lines up with the description in Exodus 28:15 through 26. But this filigree is this fine thread of gold that is weaving this all together, and just as the Lord had commanded. So we look at this, and this span is about 9 inches, and the span length and the span width, 9 inches both. And so there's four rows of very expensive stones that are mounted on this, and we see the beauty of it. And they've got all of these different jewels that are mentioned. And it's a beautiful thing that God has set apart for the people of Israel. We go on with the construction of the robe, and we see beginning at verse 22, he also made the robe of the ephod woven all of blue. And the opening of the robe in it was like the opening in a garment with a binding around the opening so that it might not tear. On the hem of the robe they made pomegranates of blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twined linens. They also made bells of pure gold and put the bells between the pomegranates all around the hem of the robe, between the pomegranates, a bell and a pomegranate, a bell and a pomegranate on the hem of the robe for ministering as the Lord had commanded Moses. And so it's all in blue, and that's that heavenly symbol that would be communicated in an opening. And it's almost like this coat of mail that had these iron rings. And at the bottom, this robe would have these bells. And when they were worn in worship, you could, if you were outside, you could hear the priest working because these bells would continue ringing. It's just a beautiful thing to imagine seeing. Verse 27, they also made the coats woven of fine linen for Aaron and his sons. And so we see these tunics that are being put together in a special way for Aaron and his sons. And we continue going on here, looking at verse 28, and the turban of fine linen, and the caps of fine linen, the linen undergarments of fine twined linen, and the sash of fine twined linen, and of blue and purple and scarlet yarns, embroidered with needlework, as the Lord had commanded Moses. They made the plate of the holy crown of pure gold, and wrote on an inscription like the engraving of a signet, holy to the Lord. And they tied to it a cord of blue to fasten it on the turban above, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And so it's a sacred hat that the priest had to wear in it. There was a gold plate on it, and it said, holy to the Lord. And it was to be designed specifically in this way for the glory of God. We come to verse 32. Thus all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting was finished, and all the people Israel did according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses, so they did. And so when it's all said and done, you look back on this and you say, wow, this is what God has accomplished through his people that are being obedient to him in building it. And lastly, there's the making of this conclusion. Look at verse 33. Then they brought the tabernacle to Moses, the tent and all its utensils, its hooks, its frames, its bars, its pillars, and its bases. And so there's this inspection of this tent going on and all that hardware that's going to make it possible to set it up. Verse 34, the covering of tanned ram skins and goat skins and the veil of the screen. And so now there's the inspection of those coverings that will be done. And then verse 35, the Ark of the Testimony with its poles and the mercy seat. And so now we have the Ark being looked at and the poles and the mercy seat. And then verse 36, the table with its utensils and the bread of presence. And so we see here that the table is being inspected and all the things that are tied to that too. And then we see verse 37, the lampstand of pure gold and its lamps with the lamps set and all its utensils and the oil for the light. And so the lampstand is inspected. And then we come to verse 38. The golden altar, the anointing oil, and the fragrant incense, and the screen for the entrance of the tent. And so the gold altar is being inspected and all the things, even the veil for the doorway. And so Moses is actually inspecting the oil and incense to make sure that it lines up with what God wants for it. Verse 39, the bronze altar and its grating of bronze, its poles and all its utensils, the basin and its stands. And so these things are being inspected. The hangings of the court, verse 40, its pillars and its bases and the screen for the gate of the court, its cords and its pegs and all the utensils for the service of the tabernacle, for the tent of meeting. So the inspection of everything that's connected with the courtyard. And then verse 41, the finely worked garments for ministering in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron, the priest, and the garments of his sons for the service as priests. And so all these priestly garments are being inspected too. Verse 42, according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses, so the people of Israel had done all the work. And so the sons of Israel did all the work. They met the requirements that God had put before them. And lastly, verse 43, and Moses saw all the work, and behold, they had done it as the Lord had commanded. So had they done it, then Moses blessed them. And so he examined everything, and the inspection showed that they had done the work. And so what can we get out of this? I mean, it's just a practical message, but it's that worship is serious business to God. And God's people need to be precise when they're interpreting Scripture. And God inspects our works, and He will inspect our works and see when it's all said and done, when the fire is burned, is it wood, hay, or stubble, or gold, silver, and precious stones?